It's our third birthday.
Happy birthday, us. We'll be celebrating in a bumper birthday video coming soon, and we want to answer your questions.
So if you've ever wondered what our favourite facts are, or how we choose what events to cover, or why we got the giggles in a particular episode, now is your opportunity to ask.
Email us now at theretrospectors@gmail.com.
It's April 9th, 2005. And another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ali, the Retrospectors.
Bizarrely, the man who is now head of the Church of England wasn't himself married in a church. Well, not for his second marriage, anyway. Instead, the then Prince of Wales, King Charles, as he became, married Camilla Parker Bowles in a civil service in Windsor, Today in History, in 2005. And not at the castle either, but at the much more modest Guildhall, in front of a select handful of guests that didn't include his mum.
Yeah, so royal weddings are typically significantly bigger affairs than this, with voluminous gowns and thousands of guests and a ceremony that's televised worldwide.
That's the kind of insight we pay you for.
Yeah, right. I just thought I'd let you in on that one.
Just so you know, unlike future kings, kind of important people usually.
But, well, I was going to say, but unlike King Charles's first marriage to Lady Diana Spencer, this had been a remarkably low-key wedding. That was because both of them having been divorced before, Camilla had been divorced from her first husband, Andrew Parker Bowles, in 1995, they decided to have this civil ceremony rather than a church service, which made Charles the first royal ever to have a civil ceremony.
And actually, they could have married in the Church of Scotland, which is less iffy about remarriage of divorcees, and that's what Princess Anne did when she married Tim Lawrence, having divorced Mark Phillips. And actually, they could have married in the Church of England, because the remarriage of divorcees with living ex-spouses isn't prohibited, but it's left to the discretion of individual vicars if they want to perform such a ceremony. And I have a feeling they could have found one who was willing to say yes. That said, they were obviously looking to steer clear of any possible control. So they opted for the civil wedding, followed by a church blessing. This arrangement received the stamp of approval from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Sir Rowan Williams. But despite all of those efforts to make things as watertight as possible, there were naysayers nonetheless, because scholars pointed out that royals were excluded from the Marriage Act 1836, the legislation which introduced civil marriage in England and Wales. This briefly caused some tabloid drama, but the palace sought legal counsel. I can't believe people are being paid for this, who concluded that the act had been superseded by the Marriage Act 1940. Which makes no mention of the royal family. This wasn't even the last legal stumbling block either. The original venue was going to be Windsor Castle, but it wasn't licensed to hold civil weddings. And getting a license would mean that they would have to take bookings for non-royal couples for at least 3 years, rather than opening themselves up to this, the Queen just suddenly overseeing her own wedding business. They changed the venue to the Windsor Guildhall.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that there was so much thinking around this wasn't just because Charles was going to be king, and wasn't just because he was marrying a divorcee, and a divorcee who'd previously been married to a Catholic match, but because, of course, of the death of Princess Diana in 1997. I think even though, you know, Diana had publicly blamed Camilla for splitting apart their marriage, and people generally felt that Charles was a bit of a bad egg, the fact that she then died in 1997 and had become the people's princess and been elevated, you know, in the public imagination, at the same time Camilla in the late 90s, was really dragged through the mud. She took all the blame for ruining Charles's marriage. She could uncontroversially have been called the most hated woman in Britain.
Yeah, she famously had bread rolls thrown at her when she was going through Waitrose.
That's never happened to me. And so it's incredible, really, when you think that just 8 years after that, the royal institution, the firm, as it's called, had turned round the public perception of her. Not entirely. It took like 25 years. But enough that she could get married to Charles and it would be accepted that she would be, they said then, the princess consort, didn't they? Rather than the queen consort, whatever, but still have a title. All of that was accepted enough by the public, but it was really walking on eggshells and it was a delicate dance.
Yeah, many self-described fans of Diana opposed the wedding still to that day, with some referring to the event as Black Thursday and writing to the national newspapers to express their disapproval. But there was this sort of, you know, royal wedding-like fervor hanging around the event because, for example, a cut-price replica of Camilla's diamond engagement ring went on sale at a British supermarket and immediately became the chain's fastest selling jewelry item. And for the wedding day, the theme park Alton Towers changed the name of their roller coaster Rita Queen of Speed to Camilla Queen of Speed. I mean,
what a tribute.
Should have been Camilla Princess Consort of Speed.
Yeah, please, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Surely Nemesis would have been a better one to rebrand.
Yeah. It's funny as well that there was so much controversy around the business of a royal having a girlfriend, when you consider that even when Charles and Camilla first met in the summer of 1970, Camilla, who was then this sort of fun-loving 24-year-old debutante, reportedly met the then 22-year-old Prince Charles at a polo match. This is a bit disputed, but legend has it that she quipped to him, "My great-grandmother was the mistress of your great-great-grandfather, so how about it?" And true enough, Camilla's great-great-grandmother, Alice Keppel, was famously the favourite mistress of King Edward VII.
Yeah, and Camilla's brother had been getting off with Princess Anne at the time that Charles met Camilla as well. So the whole family were pretty enmeshed. And in that sense, they were a more appropriate choice for each other all along than Charles and Diana had been. They're much more aligned in terms of personality. But actually also, Camilla's family were completely high society through and through. And in fact, when she did get married to Andrew Parker Bowles, that was at Wellington Barracks, and there were loads of royals there. It was considered the society wedding of the year in 1973. They had their reception in St. James's Palace. So they had loads of mates that were in and around the palace and the institution. It's frankly just down to, and this is kind of the great tragedy of Charles's young life, isn't it? It's frankly just down to the fact that the palace thought Camilla had been around the block too much, she wasn't a virgin, and she wasn't pretty enough. And because of that decision that they made, he wasn't allowed to marry the person that he'd always loved.
Yeah.
It's crazy in a way. They both had these big, splashy first weddings. And then when it came to this day, it really was a very low-key affair. And not many people were there either. You know, we mentioned that the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh didn't attend, seemingly out of squeamishness over the Queen's role as the head of the Church of England. But they only got married in front of 28 people, close family and friends.
And a viewing audience on BBC One.
Well, if the ceremony itself between Charles and Camilla was fairly downbeat, the prayer service afterwards was almost an after-party in comparison. This was 800 guests crammed into St. George's Chapel of Windsor Castle, including this time the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh.
And she made this legendary speech, right? Everyone says, oh, the Queen was so funny. But I don't know if anyone actually knows what the Queen said when she was
Do you remember that famous scene in The Big Sleep where Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall have like a weird horse racing metaphor that's obviously about them having sex? It's like that, but chaste. It's like a horse racing metaphor for the hurdles that they've overcome. And it was quite sweet if she said, I still can't believe, like a part of me still doesn't believe she really said it, but everyone seems to have the same account, so I'm sure she did.
So it's not really a funny joke. It's just contextual. Really funny that the Queen's doing a dirty joke. That's it, right?
Yeah, it's sweet, you know, about them romping home. Yeah, you know, it was nice. And I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, a lot of the stuff that the Queen said was never reported in the press. And I think this is one of these things that they wanted to come out because there had been so many stories, true or not, that indicated that the Queen had snubbed Camilla in some way, you know, whether it's the son's body language expert saying that she's sitting in an aggressive way, or whether, you know, the famous incident where she didn't want to come to the 50th birthday party. All of these things that had created this idea that the Queen was opposed to the marriage. So her coming to the prayer ceremony was seen as a very public endorsement of the relationship. And, you know, there were celebrities there, Rowan Atkinson, Phil Collins, Joanna Lumley, kind of the people you would guess.
That's,
I think,
such
actually.
A Prince Charles it's, guest list, isn't it?
Yeah, it's of the time. But, you know, and the mood was barely dampened by the service, which included the newlyweds reading the Act of Penitence from the 1662 Book of Common Prayer, in which they bewailed their, quote, manifold sins and wickedness, presumably while everyone waggled their eyebrows knowingly.
It's so funny to then watch the kind of mission creep of the attempts to bring Camilla into the royal fold. And, you know, it felt swift to me at the time, but actually it took quite a long time for all of this to
unfold. It's a 30-year project, and they executed it incredibly, to the point where people have accepted her as the Queen, which would have been unthinkable in 1997.
Exactly. So in 2005, this is where we are today with the marriage. But then it was only 2016, like over a decade later, that the Queen honoured the Duchess of Cornwall, as she now was, with a place on the Privy Council, which is an advisory board to the monarch. And it was seen as royal recognition. This for the first time of Camilla's, what they said was, tireless service to the crown and her future as the wife to the King of England. And then it was only in 2022 that Camilla was named as the Queen Consort.
Which was announced as part of the Jubilee, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so that was
exactly.
The Queen in this figure of absolute unassailable, you can't say anything about her because everyone knows she's really old now and she's probably about to die.
Yep.
In her Jubilee statement was like, it's my dearest wish that Camilla should be known as the Queen Consort. I was just genius. It's like, hold the final card. And then it's like, you can't argue with that. No yep. one's going to say at that yep. point, no way, old right. woman.
Yes.
And so after the prayer ceremony, there then came the wedding reception, where, according to a BBC report from the time, the couple mingled with their guests, who were offered egg and cress sandwiches, mini Cornish pasties and scones, which honestly I think sounds a little bit tight.
Yeah.
They then departed for their Balmoral honeymoon in a Bentley that was apparently decorated by Prince William and Harry with bunches of balloons and Prince and Duchess sprayed on the windscreen, although you can imagine they might have wanted to spray other things on the windscreen.
And probably did, knowing Harry.
Yeah.
Honeymoon in Balmoral in April. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? August at best.
It's all playing into the low-key theme, you know. If there hadn't been the Diana scandal, it would have been the Maldives in June.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
And genuinely, there were poster campaigns showing well-to-do ladies with bananas.
Ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Patreon.com/retrospectors.